John chapter 21, and you'll stand as I read the Bible. And I'm going to read several verses tonight, and I used to hear Dr. Tom Malone quite often, and he always read a long passage of Scripture before he preached. Sometimes he'd use just a verse or two, but he'd always use a rather long passage of Scripture. And somebody asked him one time, "Why do you use such long passages?" And he said, "Well, if I am persecuted in one verse, I'll go to the next." Okay. So, John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this was showed he himself. On this wise showed he himself. Tiberias is also in the Bible many times called the Sea of Galilee. Okay. So it's the same place. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples. So James and John were there, and different disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go fishing." By the way, when you decide to do something wrong, you never do it by yourself, okay? So Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." Now, the Lord had called him from fishing to fishing for men. He said, "I'll make you fishers of men." But he said, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw the net in for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It's the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishy coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish thereon, and bread. By the way, they didn't have to catch any fish. Jesus already had the fish prepared, okay? Then said Jesus unto them, "Bring of the fish which you have now caught." And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153. Have you ever noticed how precise the word of God is? He could have said just a big net full of fishes. But God is interested in every little thing. He said 153. By the way, that's a pretty good catch, amen? Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples does ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for the infallible, inspired, and inerrant word of God. And I pray, dear Lord, as we look into your word tonight, as we'll be reading several passages about our theme tonight, that you will speak to each of our heart. And help us, dear Lord, tonight, each of us, myself, everyone here tonight, to just think that we were sitting in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was asking each of us the same question that he asked Peter on that seashore that day. Simon, Don, Bill, Joan, whatever, lovest thou me more than these? And dear Lord, I pray that tonight that we would answer positively. And I pray that our actions would show that we love you. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to have to get rid of that mic. It's
the wrong mic.
It's making noise on you.
It's making a noise. I will too.
Okay. Let's try it out.
It may not have been the mic. It may have been a person speaking into the mic. Okay. Okay. Let me speak to you for just a few minutes tonight on the subject. The greatest need in the world. The greatest need in the world. Now, we may think, well, the greatest need in the world is missionaries, and that's a great need. The greatest need in the world is money to get the missionaries to the mission field. The greatest need in the world, and you could come up with any number of things tonight. The greatest need in the world. But I believe when we look into the Word of God, and I'm going to look into several different places tonight, that we'll see that the greatest need in the world is for people to love God. So just think about Jesus sitting in front of you and saying, Michael, Luke, Don, whatever your name is, lovest thou me? Do you really love me? And listen to several passages from the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:5. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's a lot of alls, amen. To love the Lord thy God. And he's saying, Israel, this is the greatest need that you have. This is the greatest thing that you can do. Is to love the Lord with all of your heart, all your soul, all your might. Deuteronomy 11:1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. In other words, there's no time when you should not be loving the Lord. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40, we read these words. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment? Which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. By the way, a lot of people today, they say when you use something from the Old Testament, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, Jesus believed in the Old Testament, amen? In fact, he's right here. He's quoting it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy self. And then he said, and the second is like unto this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen to this. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, that, you know, if you just keep these two commandments, if you're to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and then you love your neighbor as yourself, then that takes care of all of the other commandments. And by the way, read them. 20th chapter of Exodus, the commandment. And you just go down one after another, one after another. And if you love the Lord and you love your neighbor, you won't have any problem with all and any of the commandments. The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in the book of Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the greatest need of mankind is to love the Lord. And by the way, if we love the Lord and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're not going to steal from him. Okay? We're not going to commit adultery with his wife or with the husband, if you're a wife, okay? If you love the Lord and you love your neighbor, you're not going to do that. If you love the Lord and you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie. You're not going to cheat. In other words, the whole Bible seems to be saying, without any question whatsoever, the greatest need in all the world is to love the Lord.
Amen.
By the way, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Herein is the love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. So listen to the question again. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Luke for just a moment. Back a few pages, Luke chapter 14. And in light of what the Lord is asking Peter, let's look at a couple of verses that he informs us of how to become a disciple. First of all, look, if you will, in verse 25. And there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, by the way, this is not necessarily the way to get a great multitude to follow you, okay? And here's a great multitude, and they begin to follow the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I do not have to take a long time to explain that. If you have any question, you can ask your pastor after the service about it, okay? And I'm sure that he's taught it and preached on it and explained it and so forth. And when he's saying here, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister and even himself, he is not saying that we ought to hate our father, or we ought to hate our mother, or we ought to hate our wife. In fact, he said very plainly that thou shalt love, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. By the way, that's a pretty big love, amen. Love, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So he's saying we ought to love. And by the way, the whole Bible teaches us we ought to love our mother. We ought to love our father. We ought to love our sisters and brothers, okay? But in essence, what he's saying, and it's a very simple Jewish type of saying, that your love for God ought to be so great that your love for anyone else or anything else would look like hatred in comparison to the love. In other words, he's saying you ought to have a supreme love for the Lord. A love above every other love. Lovest thou me more than these? Maybe he's saying, Peter, do you love me more than you love the other disciples? Peter was a people person, okay? And he had a lot of followers and so forth. And he might have been saying that. Do you love me more than you love other people? I read this story again recently about Hudson Taylor. And he went through such a rigorous discipleship program, even though he could have had money from his father and his people, he would take none of it. And he went through a rigorous program because he knew he was going to China and he would have to live by faith there. But he was in love with a wonderful Christian lady. And she was a great lady, but she was from a very affluent family. And her family began to say to her, Hudson is going to China, and you cannot go to China. And they convinced her that she could not go to China, that she should not go to China. And eventually she said to Hudson, Hudson, if you are going to insist on going to China, we will have to break up our relationship. And Hudson Taylor loved that girl. But he loved God more than that. Now what are you saying? We should have a supreme love for God. Lovest thou me more than these? Maybe God has begun to deal with somebody here about being a missionary. Maybe to China, maybe to some other country, maybe to Honduras, maybe to Japan, maybe to, you know, the fields are white under harvest. And if we're not careful, we will refuse to go there. We will refuse to love God enough to go where he wants us to go, because we want to stay with those we love. And by the way, I know exactly how that feels. And I remember leaving my mother and dad. And by the next time I saw my mother, she was on her deathbed. And then when we went back to Japan, I remember my dad saying to me, Don, I'm an old man. You're going a long way. I may never see you here on this earth, but if I don't see you here, I'll see you in heaven. By the way, my dad did not get saved till he was 57 years old, but thank God he got saved. Amen. And one day my daughter called and said, "Dad, I hate to call and tell you this." And she was in Tennessee Temple at that time. But she said, "I just got a phone call from Mom and Papa is gone. He's dead." And all I could think was that day. He was right. He never saw me again on this earth. But thank God. We sang about heaven tonight. Amen. Hey, think about it, folks. We're going to spend eternity with our loved ones who are saved. But there are multitudes of people all over the world that know nothing about Jesus Christ. I could not help but think as I listened to the testimony tonight from Stephen, he and Tracy. They're going to leave their family. They're going to go to China. By the way, it may well be they will never see them again. Lovest thou me more than these? Then notice, if you would, the next verse. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Wow. Whosoever doth not bear his cross. And by the way, when you read the word cross in the New Testament, it means one thing and one thing only. Death. Death. That's the symbol of the cross. Death. No turning back. Amen. And Jesus is saying here, lovest thou me more than thee? Do you love me more than you love yourself, Peter? Do you love me more than you love my will and my purpose for your life? And by the way, I believe from the depth of my heart, God has a purpose for every born-again child of God. And if we're not careful, by claiming our own way and wanting to do what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do, we will miss God's best. Lovest thou me more than these? Maybe he was talking about those fish. Peter, I called you to be fishers of men. Here you're out here fishing for fish again. Lovest thou me more than these? I wonder if tonight God is not asking some of us some of those questions. Do you have something that you love more than me? Maybe it's materialistic things. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 14, down in verse 33. And this gets pretty rough, okay? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Wait a minute. Lord, all? Yeah. Hey, by the way, just stop and think. Everything we have came from him. And it's really not ours. He puts it in our hand, okay. And he makes us stewards, but it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. And here he says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. By the way, could I encourage you tonight that anything God asks you to give up, he's got something better than that for you. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. You know me too well to do that, okay? All I have is whatever I am, whatever I've ever done, it's all been by the grace of God. But I was thinking just today that there were actually four times in our lives when Virginia and I, and thank God for a wife, that's willing to do whatever God wants them to do.
Amen.
When we literally gave up everything that we had. We were poor. I started work for $40 a week. 2 years later, I was the highest paid person in the company. Okay. And it doesn't sound like much now, but in 1954, I made nearly $10,000. That's a lot of money back in that. And then God called me to preach. Okay. And we had paid off a little house trailer that we'd bought. And we were thinking about buying a house. It was in Gary, Indiana. I could take you to the spot where it is now. And, it's just maybe a 1,200, 1,300 square foot home, but it looked like a mansion to us, okay? Neither one of us had ever had much. And we could sell our house trailer, and we could make a down payment for that house. By the way, the closing cost, I'm not giving you the closing cost now, 1954, the whole cost of the house was $9,000. That's not the closing cost. That's the house. Okay. And then we realized, okay, if God has called me to preach, or since God has called me to preach, then I'm going to have to go to school. And that means we're not going to be able to buy the house. And by the way, every time we looked at it, it got bigger. But by the grace of God, we're not going to buy the house. We'll sell our house trailer. We packed everything that we had, literally everything we had, in a 1951 Pontiac. And left Indiana and went back to Kentucky. Left everything we had. Didn't have a job down there. Didn't know what in the world was going to happen. But we left everything that we had. Hey, by the way, that's what God said to him. He that forsaketh not all that he hath. In other words, if God leads us to do something, then we should be willing to give him everything that we have. And by the way, I was preaching at Hiles Anderson College years later. And I thought, I think I'll go over in Gary and see what I gave up to be a preacher. And I didn't go down in the neighborhood, okay? I stayed up on the freeway, and I looked down at that house, and I mean, murder capital of the world. And I said to the devil that day, you were right back in those days when you made that so big. I really had to give up a whole lot to be a preacher, amen? God's good, amen? About 8 years later, after going to school, learning what I was in, I'll not tell you what I was in. I was in a Baptist convention. I'll not mention which one it was. It was in the South, okay? And I planned to go to seminary. And I went up, and they didn't believe the Bible. The first 11 chapters of Genesis is a myth. They explained away all the miracles. You know, they denied practically everything in the Bible. And I thought, we're giving money to that. I can't do that. And we decided to leave the Southern Baptist Convention. And we lost all our friends. We literally gave up everything that we had, our friends. I was kind of the fair-haired boy preacher. In fact, I used to say, people used to have me to preach because I was so young. I started pastoring when I was 21 years old. And now they have me because I'm so old, okay? And they never have had me just because I was a preacher, okay? But we literally gave up everything that we had, okay? And then when we left for Japan, I remember people coming in and buying our household goods, and that's all we had. And our household goods, and they come in, buy the living room suit, the bedroom suit, come in by the washer and dryer and so on and so forth. And we didn't know if we'd ever have any of those things again. But we knew God was leading us to Japan. And we literally, again, gave up everything that we had. I remember getting to Japan. We had a cardboard box, just a box, and we had some melamac, whatever you call it, okay? Some of you ladies can teach me how to say that word. But we had some of those dishes, and we'd sit around on the floor and eat and so forth, and we'd never been happier in our whole life. And I look back over all those different times, and I think, everything that I ever gave up for the Lord, He has given me something much better in exchange. Lovest thou me more than these? Now, I don't really know what the these were, okay? But it could have been any of those things that I've mentioned. So let's think tonight in closing for just a minute. Why should we love God? Why should I love God? Why should I love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my might? If there wasn't but one verse in the Bible, that'd be reason enough. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. And can you imagine God in heaven looking down as they take His Son and put His face to a wall and take off His robe and beat Him with a cat of nine tails? 39 times. And with every one of those licks, the words echo back. God so loved the world that He gave. Think about God the Son, Jesus Christ. He goes to a garden called Gethsemane. He was so burdened that he, as the Bible said, sweat as it were great drops of blood. What an agonizing prayer time that was. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, we hear Him pouring out His heart to God. Because He realizes that not only is He going to be crucified and experience all of the physical pain, but that all of the sins of the world are going to be placed upon Him. And the Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin. And we have to be careful, okay? He did not become a sinner.
That's right.
But He became sin. And you think about every filthy sin that has ever been committed. They were all going to be placed on Him. And 3 times we hear Him praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then you see His love. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, if there's no other way for mankind to be saved other than that I take all of their sins on myself and shed my blood for the redemptive price of their sin, not my will, but thy will be done. And we hear Him say, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up. In other words, they did not against His will take Him and beat Him and put a crown of thorns on His head and put Him on a cross He voluntarily did that. Why? Listen for the cry from the cross. I love you. I love you. I love you. By the way, one time he said, you know, when Peter decided to protect him and defend him, cut the ear off of a man's head. By the way, he didn't mean to cut his ear off. He probably meant to cut his head off, but he wasn't a very good swordsman, okay? And Jesus said, wait a minute, don't do that. He said, I could call 12 legions of angels, and they'd come and protect me. 12 legions of angels. Somebody said, that's 288,000 angels. That's a bunch of angels. Amen. But he didn't. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died for me on Calvary. Listen to him. If God's speaking to your heart about being a preacher, if God's speaking to your heart about being a missionary, if God's speaking to your heart about any kind of Christian work, listen to the Lord tonight. What do you love more than me? By the way, Sunday morning, Sunday night, every member of Crossroads Baptist Church will be asked to make a commitment to give something to missions above their regular tithe and offering. And I wonder, as we contemplate, and by the way, this is what the Apostle Paul urged us to do when he said, talking about giving, he said, every man, according as he, listen to the word, purposeth in his heart, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, in other words, to think about it, to pray about it, to look over it and so forth, to consider it. I wonder when we began to fill out a Faith Promise commitment card, I wonder if God would not say to us, lovest thou me more than these? Some of the toys we have. Somebody as well said the only difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toys. I wonder if some of the materialistic things that we have and we hold so dearly, if God would not say, lovest thou me more than these? God may say to somebody, do you love me more than you do your dish bill? Or your direct television bill? Lovest thou me more than these? Maybe that sports car, whatever, okay. The game, whatever. Lovest thou me more than these? I hope tonight, as we close, that every one of us can say like Peter, Lord, you know everything. I haven't been all I should be. I know that. None of us have. But Lord, you know I love you. And by the way, as a young man sang tonight about the prodigal coming home, amen.
Yes.
I can you imagine the father running to meet him and putting a robe on his back and a ring on his finger? Kill the fatted calf. My son was lost and he's found. That's what God does to us. Just one question, okay? Listen to God, not me. Let God do the questioning. And you do the answering tonight, okay? Lovest thou me more than these? And I don't know what your these might be. But anything it is, it shouldn't come before him.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Brother Kenny to come and pray for us tonight. Lead the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let God speak to your heart tonight. Lovest thou me more than these? And I'm convinced the greatest need in all the world is that we love him. If we love him the way we ought to love him, our giving, our going, our praying is not going to be a problem at all. The biggest problem we have is a lack of love.
Yes, think about what we've heard tonight. And how can we not be challenged? Now, what will we do about it? Father, bless the invitation. Many have already come. Will you draw us to you? In Jesus' name.